Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Before we get into the word, there's a dear saint in the house. She's been a part of this church for many, many years. Jenny Luchka, she's here. It's her 99th birthday today, I believe. Is that today? Amen. Yeah, we honor you. Amen. Bless you. Incredible. So there's hope for all of us. Happy birthday from the bottom of our hearts. It's an honor to serve in the kingdom alongside a woman of God like you. Amen. When we hear the words broken heart, the predominant thought that enters the mind is negative in nature. When we hear that phrase, a broken heart, those words, broken heart, that's where our minds go. But what if I told you that a broken heart is a blessed thing? What if I told you that a broken heart is a necessary thing? Or what if we were told that a broken heart is the key to unlocking the calling of God? That a broken heart actually carries us into the destiny of God. You see, it's only when our heart is broken for something that we feel concern for it, that we show concern for it, that we bleed concern for it. It's only when our hearts are broken that we feel passion for that thing or that situation, or that calling, whatever it is that our heart is broken for. It's only then that we live passionately for it. A broken heart is the design and handiwork of God. Oswald Chambers said these words, "If through a broken heart God can bring his purposes to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking yours." Broken heart is a gift from God. It's actually the miracle work of God taking place in a life. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 28. "For here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of these countries, gather you from all over, and bring you back to your own land. I'll pour pure water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the heart of stone, that stone heart from your body, and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands. You'll once again live in the land I gave to your ancestors. You'll be my people. I'll be your God." The New King James Version reads, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Now notice that it doesn't say we are going to give ourselves this kind of heart. It's not something we can do on our own. This is something God miraculously works in the life of each willing and ready individual. Amazing things can happen when God breaks your heart. My, how a broken heart changes people. How a broken heart affects a home. How a broken heart affects a church. God can do amazing things with those that have broken hearts. You see, when a heart is broken, he can bring his purposes to pass in the world, in your world, in our world, in the world of another. And I want to say this morning that the feelings that accompany a broken heart or brokenness, those feelings are a blessed thing. And we have to let them take us there if things are going to get done. If he's going to take us and use us for his glory, if he's going to take us and use us to impact the earth in this generation, in this time in history, we need to allow the Lord to take each one of us and put a new heart in us. That our hearts would be broken for the things that break his heart. We need to begin to thank him for the things that he has broken our heart for. Guard the brokenness. I want to say this morning, guard your heart. If God has broken your heart for things, guard the brokenness. What we're talking about this morning is a God-willed heart rather than a self-willed heart. Now, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Again, guard the brokenness, the work that God has done in you, guard it. Because the enemy would love to come and mess with it. To mess with the brokenness. To have us view it as something rather than a blessed thing. Something less than the miracle work of God. When God breaks your heart for the lost, when he breaks your heart for intercession, when he breaks your heart for worship, when he breaks your heart for a local church, when he breaks your heart for what breaks his, when he breaks your heart for a generation, when he breaks your heart for the world, when he breaks your heart for a city, amazing things can happen. Has he broken your heart for the future state of the church? Has he broken your heart not only for this generation, but for the next generation? Is your heart broken? Are our hearts broken? Again, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, says the Lord. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I believe this is a prophetic word this morning in the church. It's his living word. It's not a dead word. We read it on the pages of Scripture, but it's not some old thing that has no life in it. There's power in it this morning, and I believe in this place, God is going to give some of us a new heart. He's going to take that heart of stone out of us, that heart that has been so hard for so long concerning circumstance and situation and church life and the outlook regarding this city and this province, this nation. Whatever it is, maybe it's your marriage this morning, it's just a heart of stone, and God's saying, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take that heart of stone out and put a new heart. It's going to take a new heart, and it's going to take brokenness. It takes brokenness. Jeremiah 8, verses 18 to 22, reading from the Message, it says, I drown in grief. I'm heartsick. Oh, listen, please listen. It's the cry of my dear people reverberating through the country. Is God no longer in Zion? Has the king gone away? Can you tell me why they flaunt their plaything gods, their silly imported no gods before me? The crops are in, the summer is over, but for us, nothing's changed. We're still waiting to be rescued. For my dear broken people, I'm heartbroken. I weep, seized by grief. Are there no healing ointments in Gilead? Isn't there a doctor in the house? So why can't something be done to heal and save my dear, dear people? Jeremiah had a broken heart. He is called the weeping prophet. He's so broken. He's heartbroken. Over people, the state of the church in his time in history. I want to ask this morning, what has God broken your heart for? Because there are specific things the Lord will break hearts for. And there are also those things that the Lord will break every Christian's heart for. What has God broken your heart for? Now, this might scare some people. Why? Because with brokenness, with a broken heart or a heavy heart, comes the weight, comes the burden, comes the responsibility, comes the duty. It actually takes over, and it's a beautiful thing. When God breaks our heart, it takes over. We actually begin to function out of a broken heart. Functioning out of a broken heart. In 1947, Robert Pierce worked for a religious nonprofit organization called Youth for Christ. Its mission was to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The young evangelist started toward China with only enough money to buy a ticket to Honolulu. On the trip, he met a woman, a teacher. She introduced him to a battered and abandoned child named White Jade. Unable to care for the child, she asked Pierce, "What are you going to do about her?" Pierce gave the woman his last $5 and agreed to send the same amount each month to help the woman care for the child. Pierce eventually made it to China, where thousands made public commitments as followers of Christ during 4 months of evangelistic rallies. While there, Pierce saw widespread hunger. He felt intense compassion for these people. Pierce later wrote these words in the flyleaf of his Bible, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." Dragging a movie camera across Asia, China was soon closed. Pierce showed the resulting pictures to church audiences in North America. He asked for money to help children. He showed their faces and begged Christians to adopt one. In 1950, he incorporated this personal crusade as world vision. In 1959, journalist Richard Gaiman wrote that Pierce cannot conceal his true emotions. "He seems to me to be one of the few naturally, uncontrollably honest men I've ever met." Pastor Richard Halverson wrote that Pierce prayed more earnestly and importunately than anyone else I've ever known. It was as though prayer burned within him. Bob Pierce functioned from a broken heart. When asked by Franklin Graham how to shake people out of their complacency, Pierce said he had become a part of their suffering. "I literally felt the child's blindness and the mother's grief. It was all too real for me when I stood before an audience. It's not something that can be faked." Functioning from a broken heart or a God-willed heart, the Lord can do amazing things when he breaks our hearts. When we allow him to take that heart of stone out of us, that hardness out of us. We all need the hardness taken out of us. We need the heart of flesh that only the Lord can provide. David had a broken heart. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 5. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Listen to this. "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." Salah, that is, pause and calmly think on that. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Verse 5 in the Amplified, it reads, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. To be envied is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion." Again, I share those words with us this morning. If through a broken heart, God can bring his purposes to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking yours. Would you begin to thank God for the things he's broken your heart for? It's a blessed thing. You might feel the responsibility, the duty, the weight of it, the burden of it. But God will help you. We commit to the brokenness because it's his miracle working. It's his power to bring change in our lives and the lives of others. This generation and this time in history, amazing, miraculous things can happen when you let the Lord break your heart. You know, it's a brave thing to get on your knees and ask the Lord to break your heart. It takes guts. Because he'll do it. It's not a question of, okay, will he? He will. If we're that ready, if we're that open, God will break our heart. It's a brave thing to get on our knees and ask him to break our hearts. For the things every Christian heart should be broken for. Or for the specific things he desires your heart to be broken for. You know, maybe your heart's not broken for the local church. Would you be brave this morning and fall on your knees and ask God to break your heart for what breaks his? Maybe your heart's not broken for the lost. Would you fall on your knees and ask God to break your heart for what breaks his? He will. Maybe your heart's not broken for your family, and you say, that's crazy. Of course it is. I'm talking spiritually. You might look after them naturally, but are you looking after your family spiritually? Maybe you need to fall on your knees and say, God, break my heart. It's a brave thing, because God will mess with your calendar. He will change your priorities. He will change your focus. He will change your outlook. Things will look different. In the light of his glory and grace, the world is going to fade away. The things that once drew you and had a hold on you soon will not have a hold on you like they used to. But it comes through surrender. We have to fall to our knees and ask God to break our heart. Can you serve the Lord with a hard heart? We'll leave it there. It's a brave thing. Broken hearts change history. Broken hearts write history. Broken hearts affect change. A broken heart beats in the chest of every history maker. I want to ask this morning, what of our hearts? Are they self-willed or are they God-willed? What kind of a heart are we functioning out of? What is the condition of our hearts? What's going on inside? Listen to these words. Now, I have no doubt whatever. There are mystical things and symbolic values in the fact. But the first value of it was that the outflow of blood and water, as John calls it, was a demonstration of the fact that he, Jesus, was dead already. And reveals, moreover, how on the physical side he had died. He had died of a ruptured, broken heart. In 1847, a volume was written by Dr. Stout on the subject. The finding of scientific experts is that the outflow, which John calls blood and water, might with perfect accuracy have been described as blood and serum. And the very fact that the two appeared when the side was pierced was a demonstration of what John had just said, that he was dead already. The spear had not put him to death. Whatever the intention of the spear was, the issue of the action in the case of Jesus was a demonstration of the fact that he was already dead and that he had died of a broken heart. The breaking of his heart did not take place until he knew all things were accomplished for which he had gone to the cross. And until he had said, it is finished, commended his spirit to his Father. Then on the physical side, the whole strain ruptured his heart, and straight away he was dead. You know, Jesus Christ not only died of a broken heart, he lived with a broken heart. And we are called to walk in his steps. We are called to follow. Have that same heart beating in our chest, to function out of a God-willed heart, to function out of brokenness. Just as our Lord and Savior functioned out of brokenness. What of the Father? Jesus functioned out of a broken heart. But what of the Father? Look how he sent his Son, and look how he led his Son, and look how he crushed his Son for you and for me. How the Father's heart must have been broken as he poured out on his Son the judgment for sin. But it reads, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand. I want to say this morning, let the pleasure of the Lord prosper. In your life, let the pleasure of the Lord prosper. In your marriage, in your family, in the raising of children, in this church, wherever we are in this world for Jesus, let the pleasure of the Lord prosper. The only way it's going to prosper is if we live like Jesus lived and function out of a broken heart. Look at life when we function out of a stony heart. Look at relationships when we function out of a stony heart. Look at church attendance when we function out of a stony heart. I mean, we could hit everything today. Look at work ethic when we function out of a stony heart. What is it this morning? You see, God's saying everything in life, it all has to be functioning and moving and flowing out of a broken heart, out of brokenness. Maybe we come in here and our hearts are broken for worship, but our hearts aren't broken for the lost. And you say, well, that doesn't add up. Somehow it does. Break our hearts. The things that break your heart, O Lord. John 10, verses 15 to 18, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Listen to this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. I ask this morning, is your heart broken? Are our hearts broken? God's not going to force us into a position where we have a broken heart. Now, he will come. When we cry out, when we fall to our knees, he'll put pressure on us, but it's still up to us. We have this thing called free will. If we didn't, we'd all be flowing perfectly with the program. But we have free will. And that's a gift. That's a beautiful gift. That we can surrender our lives to the Lord, that he might be glorified. You see, things change when your heart is truly broken. You know, we can say our hearts are broken for the things which break God's heart, but the outflow of our heart proves its brokenness. A lot of people say their hearts are broken, but the outflow of our heart proves its brokenness. The voice reads, as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I will give my life for the sheep. There are many more sheep than you can see here, and I will bring them as well. They will hear my voice, and the flock will be united, one flock, one shepherd. My Father loves me because I am willing to lay down my life, but I will take it up again. My life cannot be taken away by anybody else. I'm giving it of my own free will. My authority allows me to give my life and to take it again. All this has been commanded by my Father. The truth this morning, you give your life for what your heart is broken for. You live your life for what your heart is broken for. Are our hearts broken for the right thing? You give your life, you live your life for what your heart is broken for. Schedules change, priorities change, passions change. It all changes. The heart can be broken for the wrong things. Again, Proverbs 4:23 reads, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, I now see this clearer than ever. The issues of life, or the flow of life. It's the walk, it's the talk, it's the doing, it's the working, it's the decision making. All things flow different if they flow out of a broken heart. If they flow out of a God-willed heart rather than a self-willed heart. How many know your decisions are going to be different if your decision making functions out of a God-willed heart rather than a self-willed heart? Financial decisions will be different. Schedules will be different. I don't want God to mess with my schedule. Well, don't get on your knees and ask Him to break your heart. Just keep walking out your life as you are. Because if you get down and ask Him to break your heart, He will break your heart and He will mess with your life in the best way. In the best way. See, we view it as, you're going to mess with my schedule? Yes, because your schedule might be messed up right now. Your priorities might be messed up right now. What you're spending all your time on might be messed up right now. What you're spending your money on might be messed up right now. And so He wants to actually come and fix us. So He's messing up. Man, it's divine surgery that makes us whole. I trust we can receive the word this morning. The message reads, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. I can't help but think of a man named Praying Hyde, a true missionary. His friend writes about him. He stayed with us nearly a fortnight, and during the whole time he had a fever. Yet he took the meetings regularly, and how God spoke to us through him, though he was bodily unfit to do any work. At that time I was unwell for several days. The pain in my chest kept me awake for several nights. It was then that I noticed what Mr. Hyde was doing in his room opposite. The room where I was being in darkness, I could see the flash of the electric light when he got out of bed and turned it on. I watched him do it at 12, and at 2, and at 4, and then at 5. From that time, the light stayed on until sunrise. By this, I knew that in spite of his night watches and illness, he began his day at 5. But Mr. Hyde grew worse, and the annual meetings of his mission was calling him. Being anxious, I induced him to come with me to a doctor. So the next morning, the doctor took a look at him and said, "The heart is in an awful condition. I've never come across such a bad case as this. It has been shifted out of its natural position on the left side to a place over on the right side. Through stress and strain, it is in such a bad condition that it will require months and months of strictly quiet life to bring it back again to anything like its normal state. What have you been doing with yourself?" asked the doctor. Dear Hyde said nothing. He only smiled. But we who knew him, we knew the cause. His life of incessant prayer day and night, praying exceedingly with many tears for his converts, for his fellow laborers, for his friends, and for the church in India. You know, the burden of a broken heart, the weight and the duty and the effects are a blessed thing. What God can do with a broken heart, I want to ask this morning, is there something or someone or ones trying to mess with your broken heart? The enemy wants to mess with our broken heart, our God-willed heart, not self-willed heart. It's a gift of God. You know, Praying Hyde, he had a shifted heart. I believe the Lord can speak to us through this example. A heart shifted from the normal or natural self-willed position to the right side. Maybe your heart's on the wrong side. Is your heart on the right side? This man functioned from a broken heart. We can have the worship team return. What has God broken your heart for? Would you just take a moment and think of the things God's broken your heart for? And maybe some of us today that need to get on our knees and ask God to break our hearts once again for our family, for our children, maybe for the church. We've got a stony heart. Maybe it's worship, prayer. Whatever the Holy Spirit is challenging us with. Instead of a stony heart, God, maybe you are speaking to me. And so I get on my knees and I say, come break my heart with the things that break yours. Would you be brave and would you fall to your knees and ask the Lord to break your heart for the things that break his? The things that every Christian heart should be broken for. You say, well, what are those? I mean, we can compile a list, but I think you know what they are. And the specific things that God will break our hearts for. Let our hearts be moved to the right side. My prayer is that God would help us and that he would perform his divine surgery. I do believe that things can change today. The hearts can beat again. Hearts can beat for the first time. That a shift can take place even now in this place as we cry out for God-willed hearts rather than self-willed hearts. Let's stand. I know we're close to the end of this service. The Holy Spirit speaking to you, the team's just going to begin to sing and lead. And if you need to respond to the Lord, the altar's open. It's not about somebody coming to pray with you unless you desire that, but it's just this act of surrender. Or maybe you're saying, God, come on, it's time. And the Lord's saying, come on, it's time. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart with the things that break your heart. I fall on my knees and I pray a brave prayer. Pray a brave prayer, God. And I do believe miracles are going to happen right now in this place. As God breaks hearts for the things that break his heart. For the areas where we're functioning out of a self-willed heart and a stony heart. God is saying right now, it's time. Don't wait till tomorrow. This is the time. This is the moment. Maybe you're standing in your seat and you're saying, I can't step out because then people are going to look at me and go, oh, stony heart. Listen, forget the people. There's way more at stake than what people think of you right now. Don't let pride or the fear of man hold you back because God is going to do a work in your life that is going to change, that is going to change, that is going to change your family, your marriage, your parenting, your financial situation, your occupation, your outlook on life. All of it can change because God's going to break hearts right now in this place. And so we ask, Lord, would you come and perform your divine surgery? Lord, that we would be those that function out of a God-willed heart. All of us here this morning, Lord, on level ground at the foot of the cross, and we know that we can't do this on our own. And so we ask you, Lord, come and break our hearts with the things that break yours.